The group apparently had some wounded and were caring for them, and their attention for quite a span was not on security. The console was sitting there, plain as day. Finally, six Marine attack battle planes flew in and landed. There was heavy air cover over this group, quite in addition to the landed planes. The small gray man kept his eye on that console. They finally shrouded it and moved it into one of the Marine attack planes. The Huckner super-lieutenant suddenly said,
"Wasn't that a transshipment console they transferred from truck to plane? I'm playing back my screens."
The small gray man sagged. He had not wanted them to see that. He had hoped they wouldn't recognize one if they did see it. Vain hope.
"It is,"
said the Huckner. It took them quite a while to load down there. Some of the Marine attack planes were quite empty. Two were very fully loaded. The small gray man looked up capacities. Yes, two Marine attack planes could handle that entire party. The commanders were now chattering at a great rate. Some had seen pictures of such consoles. There was a rising tide of excitement, a rising vision of sharing in 200 million credits of reward money. Then the group down there abandoned the flatbeds and pumps and a crane and what might be a couple of coffins. Six Marine attack planes took off. And then they did a very puzzling and confusing thing. Instead of assuming an orderly formation, they began to crisscross each other's bows and circle and dart. It was quite impossible, even on a screen playback, to tell which Marine attack carrier was which. Four of them landed again. Which four? Which were the loaded ones? The commanders really chattered over this. They were playing back screens, looking for identifying marks. Not possible in this static. Abruptly, the Huckner solved it. Two of the planes, with only a small part of the additional air cover, took off at a leisurely pace, only 1,000 miles an hour, on a northeasterly course. The other four and the remaining but majority air cover planes stayed at the river.
"It's a lure!"
cried the super lieutenant.
"They want us to follow that northeast group."
They watched, plotting the course of the northeast group. It would pass over this side of the pole and, unless it stopped before that, would wind up at that pagoda place in the southern hemisphere. And at that speed, would get there in about 9 hours. As if to confirm the Huckner's suspicions, the remaining four Marine attack planes and the rest of the air cover suddenly streaked away on a course slightly to the west of north. They were traveling at 2,000 miles an hour. A hasty extrapolation of their course gave their only possible destination as an ancient mine site near a place which had been called Singapore.
"That does it, old fellow. There is a report here that there has been heavy activity in that area, and some sort of platform being laid out. They're taking that console to Singapore."
The quarter admiral tried to disagree. As the senior officer, he had a right to be obeyed. He explained that it must be the pagoda. The reason was that he hated all religions. Religious people were zealots and upset governments and always had to be crushed. This obviously was a religious revolt, and they even had evidence of it. A religious order had upset the government of the planet and had now stolen a console. This planet was the one, and he ordered them all to head for the pagoda objective. His order did it. The combined force streaked into controlled motion in full cry after the Singapore-bound group. But the mighty Terrify-class, battleplane-launching capital ship Capture, did not follow them. Egged on by Roof Arsbogger into independent action that would make better copy, and by a scathing hatred of all religions, Quarter Admiral Snowleader turned his ponderous and overwhelming ship, with its belly full of battle planes, toward Kariba.